I have to break your heart a little bit.
Okay.
We're not talking about Zelda today.
That's okay. I didn't expect us to.
We will talk about Zelda. But not quite yet.
Okay. That's
well, fine. After our last conversation, like, I want to make sure we get like world context, and Zelda is not great for that.
Okay.
Zelda is like very important within the context of the existence of OSRS as like a game.
Okay.
But not nearly as pivotal to the lore inside of the game.
Okay. It's just a cool snake.
It's mostly a cool snake. We'll see where this goes. I learned right. some things of doing this one, which is fun. That's why I still play this game, is because I still learn things about it.
Sure.
But before we get to today's topic, which I still haven't told you, do you have a bright spot?
Do I have a bright spot? Do I have a bright spot? You go first.
Oh, God. You're going to make me do that after this week? About, we'll go with storm prediction abilities, honestly, given the last week
state of technology.
Yeah. Like, so this will definitely come up in an info dumping at some point. Not the one we're going to record next, but maybe the one after it will be, like, about Ted Fujita or something. but, like, yeah, just the ability to predict storms with any degree of certainty is pretty wild and, like, aggressively life-saving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's pretty neat.
Okay. Mine is, I finally started, I downloaded GB Studio, which is a, I don't know, it's like a game, I don't know if I would call it an engine, maybe it's an engine, it's like a game creation piece of software. Yeah, kind of, to make Game Boy and Game Boy Color style games. So I finally downloaded it and started digging through documentation this past week. But I sat down with a pixel art creator, and I finally made like a main avatar for this game idea I've had bouncing around in my head for, I don't know, probably feels like months now. So it finally feels like I have started a project, and I looked at the guy in pixel art and said, "That's pretty neat. I feel good about that finally." So it's very small successes is my bright spot this week.
Is that the like kickoff to a continuation of that, or
yeah,
is this now scratch the itch and you're like, that can go back on the shelf for four more months?
I have completed the task as I set out to see it. No, it's a continuation. It was kind of just the, like, when you start a big project like that in something that you don't really, like, I'm not very well versed in it. Like, I'm like skilled in UI design and like writing the words for UI, but when it comes to like how to start a game or how to even like build characters, it's very difficult for me to find a place to start. So by having like a little avatar that I finally feel good about, I feel like, okay, now I have somewhere to go. And like, I've started working on like idle animations and like walk animations, and that will lead into mapping like movement directions and stuff. So I guess like very much like this episode, it is like, okay, I have set a foundation and now I can kind of go places from there. So I finally feel like I have found a footing that I can move from.
Yeah. Your technological foot in the door.
Right. Right. And it's a little cool guy I like to look at.
You got a guy now.
Yeah. I got a guy.
Everyone needs a little guy sometimes.
Yeah. Made a guy with a frock coat. What's not to love about that?
I color me surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. As a person who has one of my remaining frock coats in your closet now, I hope you understand my love for a frock coat.
Speaking of old things.
Love it. Good
today,
transition.
Today, we are talking about the Barrows Brothers.
Barrows.
Of old school. Barrows. Barrows.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And to kind of give some context to that, we're going to talk a real short bit about the various ages of RuneScape. So we're going to bullet point about 8,000 years of history here.
Amazing.
Okay. Do you... I know you've played this for like 3 seconds. I'm going to guess you know basically zero in-game lore at all. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, but besides the stuff that we talked about in the past couple of weeks, I know literally nothing. Like, the revelation of mixologist gnomes was like the biggest lore drop I've had about old school RuneScape.
Okay.
I don't even know if there's a reason that the capes exist.
Yeah, there's... Okay. Okay, so we're gonna... Man, I'm just gonna shoot some of this from the hip.
And
go we're just kind of gonna go... We're gonna go through this together. Okay. So. There are gods in the RuneScape universe. They are... actual things that have actual impact on the various planes of existence.
Okay.
Of which there are many.
There are multiple planes.
Yeah. It's a little... Okay. So here's kind of a neat thing about RuneScape lore, is some of it, a lot of it's given to you like through tomes that you'll find and dialogue and various quest lines. But like a lot of the stuff is written in universe. So some of the source material for what we're going to talk about today came from the librarian at the Varrock Library, who compiled a bunch of like diaries together into like a history textbook kind of thing. So it's like maybe accurate, maybe not.
Yeah, that's fun. Know.
It's a neat way to do it because it like works in universe, and it also gives them wiggle room out of universe to be like, oh yeah, that librarian got that thing wrong that happened 4,000 years ago. That's not a shocking state of events. So.
Yeah, they're just pulling from secondary sources anyway, so
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah,
that's cool.
It gives them a way to like kind of hint at things and then maybe drop plot lines or pick things up later if they need to, but still kind of flesh out some stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So, this entire episode is going to be like just a topic for another show over and over again, I feel like. brief hierarchy. We have the Elder Gods. They're a little more unknowable in a cosmic sense, I guess. We have just like normal gods, which are here below that. Those are the ones that are kind of interacting with the various species on the planes. In that tier, the one we're going to start with today is Guthix.
Guthix
has a Guthix. G-U-T-H-I-X.
Okay.
When I first started playing, and through most of my career with RuneScape, there were three primary gods: Guthix, Ceridomen, and Zamorak.
Okay.
Guthix is green, Ceridomen is blue, Zamorak is red.
All right.
They have various symbols, they have iconography that gets repeated, they have churches, it's a whole thing. You use those gods as like kind of moral shorthand, although that's a little gray.
Sure. Is that the red, blue, green again? Like the red god is the evil one.
Yeah. Yeah. So Zamorak is your god of it's as a kid I definitely looked at it as good, evil, neutral.
Yep.
I think it's probably closer to like chaos, law, and maybe neutral.
Okay.
It's a little tough to say.
Sure.
Because, you know, lawful isn't always good.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So of the three, Guthix is the most powerful. And Guthix found the Plain of Gelinor, which is where the game takes place.
Okay.
And it was a blank plane of existence. And due to Guthix's tragic backstory, which will be a topic of another show, Guthix wanted to create a plane of existence for mortals to live without interference from the gods.
Okay.
So he did that. Yeah. When you're a god, when you're like, you know, top of the god hierarchy, you can just teleport around and do all kinds of wild stuff. So Guthix kind of starts to bring form to this plane, and then it's like, okay, we kind of like got the world set up. We're sort of like, you're definitely gonna notice like some Christianity, Lord of the Rings, some very like Eurocentric sources that we're pulling from here.
Sure. Yeah. Like you do with most modern fantasy like this.
Yeah. Like the game, the headquarters is in Cambridge. Like they're, yeah.
Oh, right.
The first one, not the one by you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Guthix makes this plane and is like, cool, it's ready. Now we just need inhabitants. So then Guthix makes basically a Stargate. Because when you're a god, you could do that kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah, because Guthix can teleport around, but you can't necessarily like have everyone else teleport around. So he's got to help people out with that. So the first inhabitants he brings over are some of the elves and their crystalline goddess, Saren, who we will come back to some other time, multiple times.
Okay.
And he keeps kind of populating the world. We get humans and gnomes and dwarves, ants, sheep, the whole gamut we're bringing on.
Yeah.
And then once everything's set up, Guthix is like, okay, cool. This is going great. Until people start worshiping Guthix as a god.
Yeah. So it does seem like there's a bit of a problem here. We've made a plane where I think it's really important that gods don't interfere. However, gods did interfere to make it a whole thing happen, and now we've got ourselves a paradox.
Yeah, well, there's that. Okay, so how do we work our way out of that?
Ooh, I don't know.
Guthix has an idea, and Guthix's idea is I'm a fuck right off and nap.
Yeah, okay. Just like, absent just God. For, great.
Just like kind of an ever sort of situation. Just gonna take a sleepy sleep.
Yep. I can't see how that could go wrong.
Yeah. So the next thing that happens is like all the B-tier gods show up and start slapping each other around immediately.
Great. Okay.
So that is our transition from the first age to the second age. So end of the first age, Guthix goes and takes his little snooze deep underground, says, I don't want to deal with all of this worship nonsense. This is not what I had in mind. I'm a dit. Second age starts.
Okay, hang on. Before we mm-hmm. dig into the second age, you said he takes a nap deep underground. Is that...
I believe so, yes.
Is he accessible to the people in the plane that he created?
Unsure.
Okay.
I will say some of these things are... Here's where we're getting into like some of the weird stickiness between old school RuneScape and RuneScape 3.
Okay.
Is a lot of this lore expanded very far into RuneScape 3, and now old school RuneScape is taking a slightly different path.
Okay.
So we will see.
Okay.
There was a very big quest that came out like a year, I think, after the backup that old school is descended from. That quest was called While Guthix Sleeps. And it like changed a lot of lore based stuff in that timeline. And they are now developing the old school RuneScape version of that quest line.
Okay. So
we're going to learn more about some of these things in the relatively near future, I think.
Oh, okay. Still developing.
Yes, very much. Very much. And they're not like just photocopying the previous path either. One second. There's a train. I'm assuming that's very loud.
Ah, it's not too loud. I can hear it, but it's fine. Everyone loves a good choo-choo.
Yeah.
Second question. You said that when the elves came over, they brought their crystalline god, and also that there are now second-level gods. So, just to recap, Guffix here is like, hey, it'd be super sick if I made a plane of existence where we, the gods, did not interact with the people living there. However,
yes,
I have brought over people who have their own gods, and now those people still live here too.
I'm using God probably a little too broadly.
Important, powerful.
This is kind of like we brought the elves and Elrond came with.
Okay. Okay.
So like Saren's a tricky figure who we're going to do a whole episode on the elves at some point in the city of Prithness and their whole weird like clan structure and all of that business. But yeah, there's definitely an argument that maybe this whole plan wasn't that well thought out.
Yeah, yeah. The follies of gods.
Yeah. So yeah, Guthix goes and takes his little sleep. He is, I guess, technically somewhat reachable, which we will kind of get to. So he takes a sleep. Dawn of the Second Age. And that's when we get, like, the next group of gods showing up. We get Zeros. This is when Zamorak and Ceridoman show up. We also see Bandos, Armadil, a whole slew of them, and there's kind of like a bit of a hierarchy. During the Second Age, Zeros is primarily in charge of most of Gilenor. This is referred to like as the Zerosian Empire. Most of the gods are under his umbrella to some degree. Sans Ceridoman and maybe a few others. So this is actually like a relatively peaceful time just because it is being controlled by a figurehead, not necessarily that like this is good and everyone's living in harmony. That's not exactly the case either.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, if you got a big dictatorship, like you can kind of maintain peace in a way, depending on how you want to define that word.
Yeah, yeah.
So during the Second Age, we continue this kind of like territory expansion back and forth. We're still seeing like new species being brought to Gilenor. Things are going pretty well for the Zerosians, right up until our buddy Zamorak decides that, man, I am not a god currently, but it'd be pretty cool if I was a god. Zamorak is one of Zeros's generals, his primary general, in fact, and he betrays him. Zamorak, along with a few others, well, that might be a whole episode too. It's like the fall of Zeros and Zamorak's betrayal here. Kill off a number of his guards, and Zamorak stabs Zeros with the Staff of Armadil, I believe, which works as kind of a siphon, and he's able to essentially like absorb the god powers out of Zeros and into himself.
Nice. Okay. Just slurps up all that god juice.
Exactly. The god smoothie. as this is happening, Zeros curses everyone involved with this plot as kind of his last move on the way out. And that goes poorly for most of them.
Okay.
And just action of
big fuck you to everyone. Like, and fuck you, basically, and fuck you.
Okay. Double middles on the way out. Like, great. I'm like, this plane is going down, but I can flip the bird one more time on the way out.
Amazing. Imagine what power Julius Caesar would have if, as he's being stabbed in the back by literally everyone, he can just double middle fingers and take them all out.
Exactly. And just, curse their line forever.
Yeah, perfect.
So with the fall of Xeros, so too does the Second Age come to an end. Then we start the Third Age, Power Vacuum 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Perfect. Yeah, the Age of Men.
Yeah, we're not there yet. Okay. We're getting there.
This one
I said it during Lord ages. Of the Rings, for sure. Five. We're five now. Okay. Thank you. Third Age is the God Wars. This is when we start to get into the lore that is more surfaced directly into gameplay.
Okay.
So you can kind of think of, I guess, if you are familiar with Lord of the Rings, we're kind of like plowing through all of the Silmarillion so we can get to Lord of the Rings proper.
Yep.
So, like we see a lot of things in the Lord of the Rings that is a direct result of stuff that happened in the Silmarillion and other tales before that, but you don't necessarily need to know what those references are to make sense of the world.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're kind of making that transition now.
Okay.
So the God Wars, pretty big deal. And this is going to be where we're going to spend most of our time and where the Barrows brothers are going to come up. So we have Xeros gone. Zamorak is now a god instead of just like a kind of a demigod. Primarily the God Wars are Ceridoman and Zamorak fighting back and forth. Our kind of our god of chaos and our god of order.
Okay.
And then basically everybody else is aligned with one side or the other at some point because the conflict is so vast that you don't have an option. Like this is your world war equivalent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
are the people living on these planes? Like I'm assuming they're just bannered up.
Yeah. And that's actually who we are getting to now. The Barrows brothers are just dudes. Just human ass dudes.
Who live
in a town of so little note that its name has been lost and we don't even know. There are six of them. Let me grab
that is significantly more brothers than I had expected.
Six is a lot. Don't know anything about the parents of the brothers, but they all seem to be like roughly the same age, which makes this a little confusing. We won't read into it too much.
It's, you know, historical records can be wrong sometimes.
Yeah. And I guess in game, you pretty much only see them with helmets on. So maybe they're more different than I anticipated as a small child. We have Aram, Darok, Guthin, Carol, Torag, and Varrok. We'll come back to them in a minute.
Okay.
But they are just like citizen farmers hanging out in I believe in this in the swamps actually of Mauritania. I don't know if we've talked about Mauritania at all.
We haven't. We've touched on Swampletics, and I think that is the most that I know of the swamp. Perfect. Mostly that it sucks.
It sucks. It is just a real putrid shithole full of werewolves and vampires and blood tithe ghettos, and it's just a real nightmare place.
That sounds like a good swamp.
Yeah. So you can imagine that if you're just a dude, being there is not ideal. So the brothers Barrows see this war as kind of a way for them to gain station in life. They are looking to move out of their farmer existence into and ascend into something higher. So we find out they're actually like pretty skilled combatants. And so they take a place in Ceridoman's army and start to make a name for themselves. And as this happens, they are met by a mysterious stranger in a hooded cloak who offers them some new gear that is incredibly powerful.
And they say no, because obviously that's a bad idea.
But it's new gear. And like these are like purples. Like this is good stuff.
There a good cape in there?
There is not a cape, actually. There's not a cape. although there's a little cape weirdness around Guthan. Whose player model appears to be wearing a Legends cape, which is a guild, an adventurer's guild, that you have to have like a certain number of quest points and complete certain quests and move through various plot lines before you are granted admittance as a legend into the Legends Guild. All and right. We see Guthan wearing the Legends cape, although Guthan dies about 1,000 years before the Legend Guild is founded.
Curious. So, I knew I was going to like Guthan.
Yeah. And like that set is mechanically one of the better ones. So of the six brothers, they obviously take this rad gear because
of course
it's coming out of a glowing chest and mysterious strangers off handing out swords at random is no basis for a system of government.
I mean, you didn't tell me there were purples, so I totally get it.
Yeah. So Aram becomes our mage. Darok has a great axe, the model of which I'm going to say the blade of that thing is like the size of a human torso.
Great.
Like, it is an anime-esque great axe. Guthan has a war spear.
Nice.
Carol has a crossbow, which occasionally shoots out way more bolts than you would think it should.
Perfect.
Torog has a pair of hammers. Varok, our final, has like a gladiatorial brassard and a flail.
Interesting. Okay.
So in battle, the way this works is they typically lead like a number of regiments of just standard soldiers who are usually phalanxmen. And then you have one of these brothers at the head of each one of these formations. And the way they tend to try to play things out is Aram will blast magic in, try to weaken defenses. The four melee brothers then smash through whatever opening Aram was able to make, and Carol just kind of hangs out in the back and covers everyone from some perch with his ridiculous crossbow.
Nice. The Barrow strike team.
Exactly. Using this tactic, they are able to just tear through everything they come across without like taking damage. To the point that the soldiers around them are like, man, maybe these guys are actually gods too. Like this is getting a little unbelievable. So they go through a whole campaign in Forthany, which is now the wilderness. And then they get called to the Mauritania campaign in the damn swamp. So in Mauritania, we have Lord Draken, a vampire, who is very old, who is a follower of Zamorak. He helped with the overthrow of Zeros. And he has now taken over a Ceridoman city in the swamp, killed the Iseen who lived there. They're kind of an angelic race, I guess.
Okay.
Sarah Angel looking folk.
Sure.
They're like the Ceridoman version of a vampire, essentially.
Okay.
So Lord Draken is like kind of taken over this whole Mauritania region, and the Barrows brothers are sent into the Mauritania campaign to sort of reclaim that territory. And as that campaign progresses, we start to see our mysterious stranger friend show up near the battlefield. And sometimes he'll be up on a hill watching. Sometimes they'll see him off to the side somewhere or around the camps at night. And eventually this starts to really freak out the brothers. As you may imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
So as that sort of continues, they start to take damage in these fights due to this distraction. We start to see them actually sustaining injuries and eventually start sustaining injuries that require recuperation. So as they're kind of approaching the wall around Lord Draken's area, they need to like full on make camp and rest because these dudes are in rough shape.
Okay.
The stranger visits them, comes into the camp, and speaks to them silently into their minds. He tells them, "The time has come, my warriors. The gifts I bestowed upon you have served you well, and you in turn have served your god. Now it is time to begin your servitude to me, to my god. You shall stand ever vigilant for his return, and then you will be champions in his glorious army. We shall have victory against the usurper, but first you must die."
Sick. Okay. Cool. I'm on board. Let's the barrow. I was concerned that it was going to be wheelbarrows, but it's the death metal barrows.
It is. Continue. Yeah, I was trying to figure out a way to negate the wheelbarrow assumption because I knew it was going to be there, and I never got there.
You said that they were just normal workman dudes, and I'm like, all right, sounds like these guys are out here.
Sounds like a wheelbarrow. We're going to get some kind of, like, peasant's last stand.
Yeah.
So, mysterious stranger dips. Brothers are spooked. Everyone onlooking is spooked because they've never seen these guys spooked before. The brothers continue to slowly take damage, and at this point, it's noticed that after one of these big battles, they sort of just collapse. They win the day. Everyone's doing the high five, freeze frame, jump in the air thing, and these guys all go down pretty much simultaneously. They take them back to camp. They go to the healers, and the healers are like, "Whoa, what is this? This is like the most putrid, infected nonsense we've ever seen. None of our spells work. Nothing we normally do to heal people seems to be working." And the brothers start to fade. And a few days later, they all succumb to their wounds at the exact same time.
Okay. I'm skeptical that it was possible for them to do that just naturally, so sounds like maybe that god that they might be serving is a real deal.
Look, if there's one thing you learn playing a lot of RuneScape is the random number generator does strange things if you bang up against it enough times. So,
oh man.
Sometimes they all just die exactly the same. Like, it, you know, who knows?
It's possible. There's a non-zero chance that the RNG got all six of them.
Eventually, one of the times you open up your dryer, all the clothes will be perfectly folded. If you let them spin long enough.
Yep, that's true. Yep, technically correct.
The best kind of correct. So, they're all dead. Their soldiers, who have loved them for some time now, continue to fight off the hordes of Draken as they, like, dig burial chambers for their fallen comrades. And I'm going to actually send you something from in-game here. If I can find it. That's fine. They are buried in six mounds. It's kind of a pentagon with a center mound.
Okay.
And this is a location you can visit in game, actually. So they all get they become entombed by their fellow soldiers, and then the campaign is kind of over at this point, and the Ceridoman forces retreat as they are kind of cut off at the head here. And as they do so, there are reports of the soldiers looking back towards the place they just left and seeing an unearthly pink glow. As our mysterious stranger has returned and resurrected the Barrows into undead wights to wait and serve their bidding.
Jeez. Okay.
Just
6 metal looking.
Yeah.
Ghosts standing on a hill. All right.
So in the game, in our current timeline as players, we are now into the Fifth Age. Again, this all happened midway through the Third Age, which would have been like 6,000 years ago or so.
Okay.
So, as a player, we can visit and dig into the crypts and fight the ghosties. And this is one of the first... This was the first time, like, some real high-level gear got introduced into the game post-launch in, like, the RS2 era. And this is still one of the first, like, pretty common money makers you can hit as a low-level player.
It's just raiding these tombs.
It used to be the hardest, like, combat thing in the game, and now it's like, hey, you, like, you played for a couple days? We can probably get you through this. So, the way we're going to skip a lot of, like, the really crunchy math on how the drops and everything work out. But the rough loop is you dig into each crypt, you kill the ghostie. Randomly, one of the 6 crypts that you dig into will, the sarcophagus inside will actually lead to a level 1 step deeper than the tombs. And there's this whole little chamber underneath the tombs with spiders and skeletons and those kinds of beasties in it. And it's kind of maze-like. There's doors that sometimes work, sometimes don't. It's kind of a random layout every time you go down there. And the goal is to get to the center where there's a chest, and that's where the 6th brother will be, whoever's tunnel you went down. Every brother you have killed, there is a small chance you will get a piece of their armor in that final chest. So the typical loop is to kill all 6 of them and kill a couple of the beasties in the basement to up the RNG percentage a little bit, and then open the chest and hope you get one of the items.
Gotcha.
So now that they are like ghosty barrow whites, their names have changed slightly.
Yes, they have.
This is the equipment we could use. Yeah, oh, that's in that screenshot, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So we have Aram the Blighted, Darok the Wretched, Guthan the Infested, Carol the Tainted, Torag the Corrupted, and Varok the Defiled, which are great.
Those are all great.
Good names.
I hate Infested, but the rest of them are good.
Yeah. Here's your little armor. So, this is kind of a pretty big change mechanic-wise. So, equipment up until Barrows releases, you have your, like, metallic armors, most of which you can craft as a player. We go bronze, iron, steel, mithril, adamant, rune. That's kind of your step up in quality each time you get to a new metal.
Okay.
And then there's one step above that, which is dragon, and that is red. It is also a metallic sort of thing, but that is not something that you as a player can smith yourself. Those items you can only get as drops. The Barrows gear is old. Like, it's as we said, it's from the Third Age, is when the Barrows brothers were using it. I'm trying to think of how far into where that gear actually come from as we want to get. I'm trying to decide if we're going to reveal who the mysterious stranger is yet. And I feel like maybe we aren't.
All right. You
that
hold
might,
it
that
back.
Might be a thread we leave dangling.
You
we'll just say
that
gear is very old and maybe not even from Gilinor.
Okay.
But these all have set effects, which is a new thing. And they degrade.
Oh.
So, yeah. So as you are in combat, they lower in quality. It's not the stats don't go down like 1-to-1 as they wear out. They have a like functional state and a broken state. If it's broken, the stats are significantly diminished and the state effects don't work. The set effect doesn't apply.
Okay.
So as a dumb kid, that sounded impossible to me. I was like, I am not capable. I'm not paying money to upkeep my armor. That's insane. Oh, money only comes into my pocket. I never spend it.
Yeah.
Why would I ever use this gear? I'm yes. 7.
and
if you do the math,
that.
It ends up becoming it's a rounding error, and you end up doing things so much faster and more efficiently that you end up making way more money by using it because you're eating way less, your DPS is way higher, those kinds of things. So the sets, most of them don't see a ton of use in game. Guthan's is probably the most common because it applies a heal. So every time you deal damage wearing that full set, there's a chance that you get some life back. Has like a lifesteal ability.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that makes sense. So, that's the one I would go with. Me and Guthan are best buds at this point.
Yeah. He's got a great horned helmet, a dual horned helmet, and a chain skirt. Yeah, Guthan's for real.
Yeah.
It's pretty common to like bring that gear along with you. So you'll have like your strength boosting melee gear that you're using for training so you can deal more damage faster. And then once your health starts to get low, you'll quick switch into Guthan's, stab, 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 heal, 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 and then switch back into the high DPS armor.
Okay. Yeah, that tracks.
Because you can keep doing that, you can only have so much food with you at any point in time anyway. Let's see, who else? Derox sees use in a couple instances. The Great Axe is interesting. So the Derox set effect, you do your damage increases proportional to the amount of life you have lost.
Oh, okay.
So as your HP goes down, your maximum hit goes up.
That's fun.
Yeah. So there's a couple ways you can abuse that. One of them, if you're fighting NPCs, you have access to prayers, which protect you from certain types of damage. So if an enemy is only attacking you with melee, and you can pray to protect against melee, that means you'll never take any melee damage.
Yep.
And if they only ever attack with melee, that means you'll never take any damage at all.
Yep.
Which means you can plop yourself down to 1 HP and sit there and just smack the heck out of things.
Yep. Perfect.
Really hard. Like, you could hit big numbers with this. So anytime there's, like, bosses that have a fair amount of health and only attack with one combat style, Derox sees some use. Or just like general strength training, because that max hit is so high, you can, and the XP you get in combat is related to the amount of damage you do. Sometimes Derox ends up being the fastest training method available to you.
Huh. Okay.
Let's see. Varrok also sees some use. I like that set a lot. Like visually, the Brassard is neat. It's like a really different vibe compared to a lot of the other RuneScape armor. The flail's neat. Varrok's set allows you to hit through those protection prayers. So there are NPCs that also can pray against damage types. So sometimes you'll use Varrok's set to just not
brute force your way through.
Yeah. You don't have to deal with like gear switches. Arum's, the robes get used, because they have really high, they're actually chain robes. They're not like standard wizard robes. They are like defense focused battle robes.
Nice.
The staff is able to cast ancient magics, which is like a whole branch of magic that was kind of lost with the fall of the Zerosians. And something that comes up throughout the player's quests. So we'll definitely talk about ancient magics in a different episode as well. But yeah, it's kind of like halfway between robes and chainmail, and magic gear typically has pretty low defenses, and it kind of hits this sweet spot of requirements and cost to where it ends up being the magic armor that most players use for quite a while.
That makes sense. I personally play as battle mages in most games, and that is a pain I feel often of these robes look sick, but they do nothing. You could punch me and I will die.
Yeah. Yep. Carol, man, I don't know if anyone is using Carol's now. Oh, there was an amulet released called the Amulet of the Damned, came out way after the Barrow stuff does, that actually provides a second layer of set effects on top of the first layer, and in an attempt to bring some of the armor back into relevance. And I think there are a couple uses if you're wearing that amulet with Carol's. Carol is the ranged crossbow armor. Again, like pretty high defense. The crossbow only uses bolt racks, so you can't just pick the bolts like you would with any other crossbow in the game. It has its own special ammo type.
Okay.
So that kind of limits its potential usefulness. A lot of the high-end crossbow bolts have like magical effects and hit harder. The crossbow shoots pretty fast, if my memory serves. I want to say it's a little bit quicker than a standard crossbow. So it fits this kind of weird niche in a few places in the game, and like really only in the mid-game, from what I'm remembering. And then there's Torag.
Yeah.
We have not talked about. Yeah, poor Torag.
We have not talked about Torag.
Torag's got a great set of legs. The plate legs are real good. I think they're the highest defense leg slot of all the Barrow's gear. The helms, again, is real tanky. Really, all of his armor is real tanky. The hammers are bad. That's the problem.
That's a shame.
And they look real cool. It was the first time you could dual wield. Like, you're holding two, like, pretty beefy looking hammers.
Yeah, those are pretty big.
Yeah, and they've got, like, a pretty high crush bonus. Like, It's very tanky armor, but the hammers, the accuracy is just so low that like the extra attack doesn't really help. It's been kind of a meme for a while, and there are players out there who have just disgusting amounts of Torag's hammers piled up. This happened with Aram for a while too, where like it's very clear that this is the worst one. So people expect it to be buffed at some point.
Ah.
So.
Yep. Okay.
You try to buy them cheap. Wait for. Honestly, just the rumor of a buff is enough to shoot the price up. Kind of like what we talked about in that other episode.
Yep. Yep.
So like you could find Reddit posts of people who have like, I don't know, like 80,000 Torag's hammers that they've been just buying at like, yeah. Cause you just put in just like an offer slightly above alt cost. And it's like, well. Worst case, I just turn all these into gold. Like, they can't go lower, so...
Yeah, but maybe.
It's a weird investment. Yeah, because I don't think the Aram staff couldn't auto-cast Ancient Magics originally. That was something that was a buff they added to try to make that set, like, usable at all. And we're still waiting on Torag to get that treatment as well.
Poor Torag.
Poor Torag.
So are the drops that you're getting, are they the actual items or the fact that they are degrading? Like, are they, I'm curious how the items that you are getting, like the sets and the weapons and everything, how they relate to the mysterious stranger. Like, is there any contact with the mysterious stranger, or is there something that happened in the third or fourth age with that person that means that it doesn't matter anymore?
We tie into this plot line with the desert treasure quest line, which is like one of the big three or four, five. There's a handful of like primary quest lines that are 7, 8, 10 quests with little tendrils coming off of them. And we cover a lot of that in one of those. So,
okay,
we will get there. When this stuff came out, no, there really wasn't.
Okay.
There's a guy there you talk to, and it's not really clear who that person is. And you get one of the books that a lot of this lore came from. There's a crumbling tome hanging out that you pick up, and you start to get little bits and pieces of like why these burial mounds exist. And a lot of this was before like all of that area was even flushed out in game. So there's huge cities. Like Lord Draken wasn't really a thing that I remember from RS2. And that's like half of Mauritania is the vampires. So yeah, as the player encounters it in the fifth age, when you would first get there, you don't really know what's going on, and you don't really interact with that lore too deeply.
Okay.
But as they've continued these lines, they've been able to like pull in a lot of these plot elements. So these characters do factor into the fifth age storyline.
Okay, cool.
I think that might be as far as we take Barrows for today.
Okay. I like that. Leave it dangling.
Yeah, there's a couple loose threads there. So we could go further into the God Wars. We could talk about the vampires or the Second Crusade in an attempt to reclaim land from Lord Draken. We could go through any of that stuff. Or there's a whole underground like French resistance sort of vibe.
Okay.
Of people fighting against the vampires. We could go down that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fun. Some good directions. I'm still just reeling at Guthix deciding to make this whole plane of existence where he doesn't have to interact, and somehow decided that vampires would be a cool thing to bring into it.
Well, so the vampires showed up. That would have been Zeros' fault.
Okay, but he left the Stargate open.
So Guthix dipped. Yeah.
They made another Stargate?
Yeah. A little unclear.
Ugh.
So this would have been after Guthix's during Guthix's nap. We'll wrap up. I guess we'll wrap up the third age. The God Wars get bad enough that like most of a continent gets like glassed essentially, and that becomes the wilderness, which I think we've talked about before. That's like a PvP zone. It's just a desolate wasteland. It's like your dead marshes, kind of.
Yeah.
To continue the Lord of the Rings tie-ins. So that goes like real bad, like cataclysm bad, and basically like the life force of the planet itself essentially cries out and wakes up Guthix, who comes back and slams the door in everyone's face.
Great.
And so the third age closes with Guthix like kind of changing the parameters a bit, and now gods can no longer directly interact on the planes. So we end up doing this whole like using the other species as pawns in their continued wars. We kind of hit like a Greek god kind of thing.
Okay. I mean, that checks
into the
out.
Fourth and fifth age. Yeah. So, yeah, that'll give us a number of different jump off points.
Yeah, that's awesome. That it's also just very helpful to have a good idea of the cosmology of this game. And now I have Guthin, who is my son, and I will protect him forever.
Yeah, I know. The infested, unfortunately the one that you were least into.
Yeah.
From a name standpoint.
There's just something about infested that never feels right.
Oh, it's supposed to be gross.
Just real gnarly sounding. Awesome. Yes, let's go from here and branch out to all of the very scary places that you have dropped hints at. I might just put in a little ding sound whenever we talk about another episode. That might be.
Yeah.
Because that might be fun.
I'm sure there were a few that came up. There were a couple we danced around too. So there's a lot. And that's why I didn't want to like jump right back into something like more granular. I was like, I need to. The lore for this game, I think, is underappreciated because it is very deep and fleshed out in a lot of fun ways. And most people just spacebar through all the dialogue and never really interact with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they interacted with it when they were, you know, 9 years old and time has moved on and now they just spacebar through it anyways.
Exactly. So this will maybe be kind of a thing to point to catch that lore without having to, you know, grind for 700 hours.
which I will not be doing, but
yeah, that's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah. All right.
This is as close to playing RuneScape as I can feel comfortable making you do.
Yes. This is about as far as I go. All right. So that is an episode. I don't really know, like, the episode on the Barrow Brothers and also, cosmology of RuneScape.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know either. We'll workshop a title.
Yeah. It'll be a good one. If you like the show, if you enjoyed this discussion of RuneScape and the cosmology and the Four Brothers Barrow, tell a friend, rate a review, you know, all of that fun stuff. GordonHamburger.com is where you can go to read video game reviews, links to Twitch, YouTube. We've been slowly building videos on YouTube. And if you want to send a message, recommend piece of world building or something for us to look into, there's a contact page. So you can just send us a message and we read them all. So far there have been few. So we can continue reading them all. If there are more, we'll see. But yeah, that's the roundup. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with another Codex entry.